It is really good to be with all of you, especially as we continue week three of our series, Detox. If you haven't been with us the last few weeks, this whole series is really based around the idea that we get in our lives that you probably can't go a day without hearing about some pollutant or toxin or thing that you shouldn't eat, how bad the air quality is. I mean, we know things get into our bodies that we need to get out, and there's a whole industry that's popped up all around detoxing now. But what about our souls? I mean, aren't our souls something we should pay really close attention to? What's getting into them and what we need to detox out? So we've been talking about a few of those, and we started off the series talking about the toxic thing of doubt. And then last week we talked about comparison, which, as I talked to many of you, doesn't sound like that's an issue for anybody, which is good. And today we're going to talk about something else that I think is really holding many people back from going to the next level in their faith. We're going to talk about this thing called hidden or secret sins. Now, before you get too nervous, let's kind of all level set today. Surely there's not anyone here, because you come to CCV, this amazing church, that you've not figured out how to stop sinning, right? All of us? Cool, let's just close in prayer early then. Father, thank you. I know there's some women in the audience that are probably lying about this, but at least us men, we have it figured out. Thank you. Come on, you haven't figured that out, and neither have I. As a matter of fact, Scripture teaches that when Adam and Eve first sinned, and that's when it entered our world, it infected all of us. All of us. As a matter of fact, did you know that you were born with a sinful nature? You don't believe me? Just watch babies as they're born and they grow up and they first begin to talk. What is one of the first words that comes out of a baby's mouth? No. No. And it just stays with us for the rest of our lives. Now, the only difference between Christians and non-Christians is this, is that we know we all have this sinful nature, but as Christians, we know we have something else. We get the gift of God's Holy Spirit living inside of us to help us live more according to God's desires. But literally every single day you wake up, there is an MMA battle going on inside of your soul. And it's this. It's your sinful desires, which the Bible often calls the flesh, versus God's desires, the spirit. And it's just battling inside of you. Listen to how the Apostle Paul put it in Galatians chapter 5. He said this, "For the flesh desires what is contrary to the spirit, and the spirit what's contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But I do whatever I want sometimes, and so do you." I mean, you don't go throughout your day, you don't bat 4 for 4 all the time. Sometimes you bat 2 for 4 with the sacrifice fly. Sometimes you go 0 for during the day. I mean, we just know that sin affects all of us. But come on, if we got really, really honest today, wouldn't we admit that we know that, but aren't there certain sins that just seem to just rear their head in our lives over and over and over again? I mean, we hate it. We're a little bit embarrassed about them. Sometimes we oftentimes hide these things, but aren't there things that just seem to come up over and over again? I think there's something called ingrained sin. And ingrained sin is simply this. It's the same sin that shows up over and over again in your life. And because of that, it gets ingrained deep down inside you. It's a foothold in your life, and you hate it. But it shouldn't be surprising that we have this. We have an enemy, Satan, who is out to seek, kill, and destroy all of us. And so, of course, if he saw a weakness in your life or a temptation he could make you fall prey to over and over again, he's going to exploit that all day in your life. No different than if a basketball player knew they could take you left all the time, they're going to take you left all day. And so we have these things in our lives that just kind of come over and over again. Now, this past week, I was thinking in my own life about just what some of these things were for me. And I was just looking over my life, because I've had these in my life, ingrained things all throughout my whole life. And I thought back to my childhood, and you guys won't probably believe this, many of you, but I was a terrible child all throughout elementary school. I mean, just ask my mother. She told me later on that I grew up in a really small town, and the teachers used to have a conference at the end of the school year to decide who was going to take on Ashley the next school year. I think they drew straws, and the one that got the shortest straw had to take me. And so I was just, I had some rough stuff as a kid. One of the things I dealt with is I dealt with lying. I don't know if it's a kid thing. Some of you have kids right now, they just lie all the time, and they lie about the stupidest things. But I lied all the time. I think part of it was because I knew I could lie and I wouldn't get in trouble. And so It just happened over and over again. I remember I stole a pack of gum from the store. My mom asked me about it, and I blamed it on somebody else, a friend that gave it to me. I broke a neighbor's window one time, and my mom and dad asked me about it, and I blamed it on someone down the street. One time I was playing with my youngest sister in a field behind our house, playing with matches, and I lit a bush on fire, which you've ever lit a bush on fire in Arizona, it goes quick. And I went to stomp it out, and it just lit up, and it burned all the hair off my legs. And I couldn't get it out, and so it lit the whole field on fire. And it was a small town. The fire department came and spent 2 hours putting out this fire in this field. And then I'm sitting in front of my mom and dad, and I can't admit I wasn't there because my legs, it's all burnt off. And so I just lied straight through my teeth. I said, my younger sister did it. And she was too young to even defend herself, and so I kind of got away with it for a while. Then we move into adulthood, and sure, the sins might change, but we have things that just kind of repeat themselves over and over again. Now, if you're not a follower of Jesus, if you're not a Christian here today, a lot of what we're going to talk about, you actually get a pass for much of it, because you haven't even really bought into the idea that there's a God who wants more for your life than what you're doing right now, and you're just kind of living life for yourself. I do what I want, and that's cool. I mean, we're so glad that you're here today. Maybe one of the challenges for you as we go through this is just think about some of those things that you have in your life, and I just want you to be honest about maybe what they're doing in your life. And you might say, they're not doing anything, they're not affecting anybody, this is just me. But don't ever buy into the lie that these things just affect you. They always affect the people around you, always. But for those of us that are followers of Jesus today, we know we're taught to not let these things, these ingrained hidden sins, stay in us. We're to do something about them. And in Scripture, especially if you've been around church for any amount of time, you know that what we're taught to do is called confession. It's confession. It's one of the tenets of the Christian faith. And probably most of us get that we're to confess to God for forgiveness. We get that. One of the most famous verses that most of us have heard or known before, it comes in 1 John 1:9. It says this: if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. But when I say the word confession, what comes to your mind? If you're Catholic here today, or you're a former Catholic, you know exactly what comes to mind, right? It's the sacrament of penance. And you were taught all growing up that after you got baptized, you got to go to the priest, and you got to confess your sins, and that absolved all of them, and they kind of just magically went away. And that just became this rhythm you got into. It's kind of like this, you know, it's kind of like you have this like bucket of sin, and you go throughout your week, and you get to fill it up. And then you get to go before a priest, and you get to dump it out, and you feel better about yourself, and then you get to go on, and you get to fill it up again. I mean, it's kind of a cool system, right? Now, before those of us that are Protestants get too high and mighty, because we don't have to go to a priest, we have our own system too, don't we? Our system looks something like this. We have a sin bucket as well, and we get to go throughout our day, go throughout our week, and we get to fill it up. And then what we're taught to do is maybe at night, before you go to bed, and if you're super spiritual, you get down on your knees, like on your bed, and we get to take our sin bucket, and we get to like dump it out with God and confess to God. And we're taught that God magically like erases all that and forgets about it, and then we're good. And then we get to go out and fill it up again. Now, with hidden sin, we do something very, very similar. Okay? But the only difference is we have one of these with hidden sin. And this is visible to everyone around us because this is out there. People see it. But with these things, we stick a lid on and we put it on really tight and no one's going to see what's in here. And so we go throughout our day and then we do something similar. We get in a dark room and we lock the door so no one's there. And we get before God and we go, God, I got to show you something. It's this. Which is kind of funny if you think about it. Like, we act like God doesn't even know what's in here already. I think God's up in heaven sometimes going, I know, I was actually there when it happened. You were there when I did that with her? Yeah, I was right beside you. That's a little weird, God. But anyways, God, I'm so ashamed of this. I'm so sorry. I hate this. God, I just want you to purify me, cleanse it from me, take it away from me. There's times that we do this. God, I promise this is the last time I'll ever do this again. But then we go through our week, and remember, these are those ingrained sins oftentimes, and we find ourselves before God, and we're doing this. We peek it back, and we go, God, it's back again. What are those in your life? What are some of those ingrained hidden sins? Statistically, for you men today, 50% of you or more, that thing's pornography. Actually, 20 to 25% of the women, statistics tell us now, are dealing with the same thing. And you hate it, you don't want to do it, and it's secret, but it just kind of keeps happening over and over again. Or maybe for you, you have another kind of secret sexual sin that nobody knows about. For some of you, it's an eating disorder, and you've learned how to hide it. Some of you are cutting, and no one sees the scars. Some of you have a gambling addiction. Some of you have gone too far with your girlfriend or boyfriend, and it just keeps happening over and over again. You don't want it to, but it does. Some of you are emotionally or physically abusing someone in your family. You are, and you hate it. Some of you are stealing. You know it's childish, but it keeps happening. Some of you lie. Some of you have envy and jealousy that you just deal with all the time. Some of you have drug or substance abuse issue. Some of you have something going on with someone other than your spouse, and no one knows about it. It might be physical. It might be online. Or there may be something else on your list that I haven't even said, but we all sometimes have these things that get inside of us that we don't like. But can I ask you a really tough question today? Actually, I have the microphone, so you don't really have a choice, do you? Of all the times you've gone before God and you've confessed this secret hidden sin to him, and you've told him over and over again, I'm sorry, please take it away, here's the question I want you to ponder. Why can't you seem to break the power of that sin in your life when you've confessed it to God? Maybe part of the problem, and this isn't the whole problem, but maybe part of the problem is this system that we use. Somewhere along the way, you began to believe, and I believe this at some point, is that confession is all about guilt relief. I mean, literally, we get to come before God, and I feel terrible about myself because I have this thing inside of me, and I don't feel good about myself because of my sin, and so what do? I know what I'll do. I'll go before God and confess, and he takes all the guilt away, and then I feel better about myself. And so it, in some ways, it's kind of become selfish. It's all about me. Confession's all about me. Or sometimes we even go before God and we're like, God, do you feel better about yourself now that I've told you what's going on with me? And it's this conscious relief thing that we do. But is that confession? I mean, is God up in heaven and literally looking down on us going, hey, here's 2 Tylenol for guilt relief, and come back if you ever feel bad again? Did you know, as you read through Scripture, there are no passages ever that link confession with guilt relief? Ever. But as you honestly read through Scripture, here's what you'll find. Real confession is always a step towards repentance. What's repentance? Repentance means to make a U-turn, to change. You say, oh, you mean like don't do it again? Exactly. I kind of like my old system. I like dumping my guilt, and then I get to do it again. But listen, real confession always leads to real change. Real confession always leads to real change, to which some of you think, my confession was real. I mean, I don't know how to make it any more real. I went before God. I was as genuine as I can be. I said, God, I am so sorry for this thing in my life. Please help me. Please take it away. Please purify me. I mean, you're saying it was real. But come on. If we're really confessing, why aren't we really changing? Could it be that we've messed up what confession is really all about? I want you to look back on that famous verse in 1 John 1:9, this one that says, if we confess our sins. That word confess, when you look it up in the original language, it means to agree or admit with God that what you've done is a sin. And listen, that is a very important step in the idea of confession, because some of you haven't even done that. You know there's something, but you've made all the excuses in the world, like, well, this spices up this part of my life, or I deserve this, or nobody else knows about it. So you've never even gone to God and admitted that what you're doing is wrong. That is an important step in confession for forgiveness from God. But is that it? Well, let me show you a verse that will hopefully clear this up for you. It comes from the book of James, chapter 5, and it says this: therefore, confess your sins only to God in secret, and he will impart upon you supernatural power that on your own you shall overcome your sins and be healed from them. To which point you're thinking, that's what I'm doing. Why are they still there? The reason is because I completely made up this verse. This is nowhere in the Bible at all. Here's what James 5:16 really says. Therefore, confess your sins to who? each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. I want us to say these two words together. I want to read this verse again. Therefore, confess your sins to each other. Do it one more time because I want this to sink into you. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so you may be healed. This word confess in James is different than this word confess in 1 John 1, 9, and this means a full, frank, open confession to someone else. And so you need to understand, when you want to really look at real confession, what the Bible talks about confession is there's a second step in confession. It's not just going before God. We confess to people for healing from our sins. Whoa, 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 whoa. Whoa, I'm not confessing my sins to somebody else. I mean, that's embarrassing. I mean, I'd be ashamed. I mean, what would they even think about me? Okay. You can honestly be at that point, but you just need to know if that's where you're at, you're never really going to get over some of these sins that are ingrained in your life. Listen to what Proverbs 28:13 says. It says this, "He who conceals his sin does not prosper, but whoever confesses and renounces them finds mercy." If you've ever confessed your sins to someone else, you know the power that can happen in this idea of confessing to others. 2 weeks ago, my oldest daughter came home from school, and she got her mom and me together, and she said, "I need to confess something." It's interesting it happened, this timing, right, leading up to this message, but she said, "I need to tell you something. I cheated at school." And so we don't do that in a Woldridge household, so we chopped her hand off, and then we kind of moved on. No. Here's what happened. She's telling a story. We pulled Carly out of school for a couple days because we had something going on with our family, and so she missed a test. And so she went back to school, and her teacher was going to let her make up this test over the lunch hour. So it was just Carly and her teacher sitting in a classroom. Carly's taking her test, and her teacher's grading tests next to her. And the teacher gets called out of the room, and Carly said, "I looked over, and she's grading the actual test I'm taking." To which point I'm thinking, why would she leave him right there? Like, but that's beyond the point, right? Because we make excuses sometimes for the things we do, don't we? And Carly said, "I'm taking the test." And she goes, "Dad, I'm thinking to myself, don't look over, don't look over, don't look over." And she's going through and she said, "Dad, I got stuck on these few questions." And she says, "I looked over and I saw a few questions and I copied them down." She said, "Dad, I walked away and I felt so guilty." And so she confessed it to us. And you know what we had her do? We said, "Carly, you need to go back to your teacher and tell her what you did." And she was telling her friends that she was going to do this, and they were like, "Why would you do that?" And she went back and she told her teacher, and she said, what was going on in her mind is she said, "I did this. Do you want me to show you which questions they were?" And she was thinking, in the back of my mind, I was hoping she was going to say, "Don't worry about it. I'm just glad you told me." And her teacher said, "Yeah, I want you to tell me." So she went and told her, and she marked all those questions wrong. And later that night, I was tucking her into bed, and I said, "Carly, could you imagine if you wouldn't have done that, and every single night you went to bed, you had to feel the kind of the guilt of what you'd done?" And she looked at me and she said these exact words, "Dad, you don't understand. When I told my teacher what I did, it felt like this weight was lifted off my shoulders. And I don't care what Carly got on that test. I was so proud of her that she understood and got this idea of confession." And I'm telling you, some of you need to learn what she learned in that moment. And you might say, "Well, Ashley, you don't understand. My sin's complicated. It's not like a test that I cheated on." I understand. Sin's always complicated. Did you know sin is like a fungus? A fungus can only grow in the dark. And when you put it in the light, it starts to die. And sin's the exact same way. Sin always grows in the dark. And you've said sorry to God 100 times, but that thing's still there. And until you confess it to someone else, it's going to live there still for a long, long time because sin lives in the dark. But when you get it in the light, you can be free of it. Secret sin is like a splinter. The longer you leave it in, the more it's going to fester and grow. And you've been going before God to take a Tylenol for your guilt for a long, long time, and God may be just trying to tell you today that's not true confession. You may say, "But Ashley, if I confess it to someone else, I'll have to," you'll have to change. I mean, isn't that the point? Because real confession always leads to real change. But let me get really, really personal with you for a moment. Okay, just There's some of you here today and you're saying this, okay, all right, I got it. Busted. You got me. I've been going to God this whole time. It's kind of like this guilt relief thing. But I have this thing going on my wife doesn't know about, or I've got this illegal deal at business and no one knows about it, or I've got this porn thing, and I'm in all those things. I'm too ashamed. I'm embarrassed. I'm not going to tell anybody about that, which that may be honestly where you're at right now. And you've heard what God says about it, and you need to confess to someone else, but you're like, I'm not going to do that, which that may be where you're honestly at. And if that's you, here's what I want to ask of you. I want to ask that when you pray to God about this thing, I just want you to change your prayers. And I'm being real about this. When you pray to God, here's what I want you to pray. I want you to go before God, and I want you to say, God, you know this sin in my life? I just want you to know I'm going to keep doing it. I can't pray that. Why not? You chicken? I mean, just get at least honest before God. Because you can't fool God. You can't go before God and just do this dump guilt thing and think that God doesn't see honestly what's going on in your life. So maybe in the midst of you just getting honest with God, your duplicity in how you're living might frustrate you to the point where you actually want to change. But for the rest of us who actually do want to change and we don't want to have this thing inside of us, it's very simple. You have to confess to others. And you might ask, well, who do I have to confess to? I mean, do I have to go into work and go, hey, everybody, gather around, get in the conference room. I got something to tell you. No. Listen, you don't have to confess to everybody, but you do have to confess to somebody. There is a point of overconfession. There's that people out there doing it. But you don't have to confess to everybody, but you have to confess to somebody. You might say, who? Here's two very practical things who you confess to. One is you confess to the person that you've hurt. Or if this is kind of this internal habit thing you have, you confess to someone that will hold confidence and hold you accountable. And it's both those things. You don't do one without the other. You might say, well, can I confess to a friend that's not a follower of Jesus and struggles with the same thing? Well, he might hold your confidence, but he's not holding you accountable. Can I confess to my dog? Probably not. No. Can I confess to a pastor? That's a great first step, but your pastor may not be in your life and be able to hold you accountable all the time. So it's someone who holds your confidence and someone that can hold you accountable. I'll never forget when this became really real in my life. What happened was, for the first time I understood confession, I was in college, and all of us college roommates, the internet was brand new at that time. And at that time, many of you who are young, you won't get this. You had to take your phone line and hook it into your computer, and it made this funny sound. You remember that sound? And it was AOL dial-up, and it was turtle slow. But we all decided, let's chip in and get this. And I'd never had the internet before, and so we got it in our dorm room. We were all standing around this computer, and we hooked it up for the very first time. And then some other guys down the hall came in, and they were all excited. And some guy jumped on the computer right when we got on. He goes, you're not going to believe what you can pull up on the internet. And he typed something in, and all of a sudden, up came some porn. And all of a sudden, this battle went off inside of me. I go, bad, bad, don't look bad. Ooh, that looks kind of good. Bad, bad, good, bad, good. And I just remember struggling with this thing. And I didn't want this in my life. And it just felt like I kept struggling. And I would go before God, and I confess it over and over again. I remember it took years for me to finally get a couple guys in my life that I finally just confessed this to. And I experienced what James wrote about. That when I did that, I'm just telling you, and if any of you have done this before, you get this, the power of that sin can start to be removed from your life. If you've ever been to an AA meeting, Alcoholics Anonymous, they've figured out what some of us are just too dumb to admit, that there are some habits, there's some sins, there's some things that you are never going to get rid of by just going between you and God in a dark room. The first step in AA is that you go and confess to someone else, because they knew what God already knows, as tried to teach us today, is that God created you as a human to be surrounded by other people and to use them in your life for this thing called confession, and that's what can bring about some actual real healing and change in your life. But you know what's so hard for some of us? Why don't we do this? Here's why. Because we fear the consequences of confession more than we fear the consequences of concealment. What would they think about me? I mean, would they really understand if I went and confessed to them? I mean, that's really embarrassing. But the only people who say that are people that haven't yet to realize the full consequences of their sin. And in the meantime, you're living with this unconfessed sin, and you know what happens over time? Sin grows in the dark. And so you've been confessing to God, but it keeps growing, and it keeps growing, and you keep adding and adding, and it just won't go away. And at some point, this gets really, really heavy. And you actually wonder in life, like, why does my life feel so heavy? Like, why is it kind of foggy? Why am I walking around and just, I don't know what's going on? And the reason why is because you're walking around with something that's unconfessed. And until you let this lid off with someone else in your life, it's going to continue to feel heavy like that. King David, who the Bible says was a man after God's own heart, he himself dealt with this. Do you remember what he did? He had a massive sexual sin with a married woman called Bathsheba, and he hid it for a long time. And he wrote about what happened as he hid this sin inside of him in Psalms 32. Listen to what he said. When I refused to confess my sin, my body wasted away, and I groaned all day long. And that's what some of you feel. You don't know why you just feel like so angry sometimes. You don't know why some of you women are just so anxious all the time. You don't know why this thing in your marriage isn't going right. And man, you're just kids. You don't feel connected, or at work. You just can't seem to get it going, and you don't know. And it's because your body's wasting away. You got this thing in you. But if you could experience the healing that happens when you actually confess truly, you would never look back. Could you imagine if just us here at CCV, those of us who are followers of Jesus, could actually really start practicing true confession? Do you imagine what could happen in our marriages? What could happen just as us as parents, actually being the parents we want to be, that actually happiness and joy? Could you imagine if you actually got to go through your day and your week and you actually felt true peace again? What's the alternative? The alternative is that we just walk around all day long and we just have this weight all the time. Are you tired of it? Do you want to change? Here's my challenge for you. This is the takeaway. I want to challenge you in the next 48 hours to answer two questions. I want you to answer, what do I need to confess? And the second question is, who do I need to confess it to? What and who? Because I think God wants to work something really amazing in your life if you would just answer those questions and be really, really honest about it. And so what I've asked is I've asked the band to come out and just give us some space to actually let God speak to us on this. And so during this song, I want no one to move, no one gets up. I just want you to honestly answer in your life these two questions. Is there something I need to confess? And who do I need to confess it to? Listen to this. You know, don't you? You know what you need to confess, and you know who holds the key to you helping finally be free of this thing. And here's my experience. My experience is that you'll walk away today and you'll say, that applies to someone else because I know they need to confess. Or you'll walk out of here and you'll start to make 100 excuses why you shouldn't have to do this right now. And so my challenge is, don't let 48 hours slip by before you make that phone call, you schedule that appointment, and actually do what you know God is telling you to do in Scripture to actually finally be changed and finally become the person that you actually know you want to be. Come on, men. You finally ready to put your big boy pants on and confess? It doesn't make you strong holding this in. It makes you weak. And ladies, I'm telling you, be courageous in what you need to do. And let's just watch God, as we practice this, work miracles in our life. Let's detox hidden sin. Let's pray. Father, I want to pray a bold prayer for every person in the audience right now, that God, they'll never walk out of here and just make excuses for not doing what they know they need to do, and that we might just be a church and we might be people and we might be individuals that practice confession, God, so that there can't be this thing hidden in our lives that holds us down and keeps us from being who you want us to be. And Father, we pray this now in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.